Welcome to They... Oh, I had an idea for an opening.
Sure.
No, this is good because it'll tie into our movie opening.
Okay.
All right, check this out. In a world where people are sad and despair, two friends see humor and hope in the midst of the craziness. Father Dave and Bob are they that hope. And I'm Bob.
Father Dave, what was that?
Well, you know what? Today, this is our fifth episode.
Okay. Yeah. You first off, I don't keep track of this thing. And you texted me and said, this, our upcoming episodes, our fifth episode.
Right.
I know what we're going to talk about. I'm thinking.
Episode five.
Exactly. Right. Well,
the greatest movie ever.
Right. Now I realize that because I mentioned to one of the friars, I said, it's the fifth episode and Bob's all excited. And one of the friars said, well, I'm sure it's Star Wars.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back, the greatest movie ever made. I actually regret, and I would like to apologize to all of the listeners, not making an episode four reference. Episode four, A New They That Hope.
Yeah.
That was a missed moment. I'm going
to... How many episodes are there so we can kind of move past this?
Okay, well, the main ones are four and five.
Okay, so we're almost done.
With the title references.
Okay, great.
I mean, we're not close to being done because The Mandalorian comes out next week.
I can't wait.
Did you see the first season?
None.
All right, then we'll move on. But I'm going to make you
watch
it.
Isn't that a musical instrument?
Oh my gosh, no. It's like the Boba Fett guy, and I'm only speaking down to you right now for any actual Star Wars people. Baby Yoda, look at what you're making me do.
Okay, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I know what Yoda is. I know who Yoda
yeah,
is.
He's a person. He has dignity.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're going here, I'm going to tell one of the best Bob Rice and I stories. Okay. Bob loves obviously Star Wars and he loves Yoda. And we were going to a conference. Actually, it was in South Bend, Indiana. Oh. And Bob was talking about what a perfect Yoda impersonation he has and all this. It was just funny. So we were at this event with a bunch of kids and Bob was in a workshop somewhere else. And I said to the students, I said, okay, Bob Rice thinks he's got the best Yoda. So I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to try to get him on stage and he's going to do the Yoda impersonation. I just want you guys to boo him. So they were all excited.
Actually, we did a competition.
Yeah, well, and that's just it,
so
eventually.
You did one and you made them all cheer wildly.
Well, that's when you came back. This is my story.
I'm sorry.
All right, so Bob
You're
comes back. Bob comes back in the evening. I said, you know, people think Bob thinks he has a great Yoda impersonation. And Bob says, well, let's let them decide.
Right.
So we both do it. And I do my Yoda impersonation.
Let's hear your Yoda impersonation.
Sure. Start we must.
No, let me hear your Yoda impersonation.
You're so bad. So I do that, and the kids, like, they just start cheering.
They
and that's
are going
amazing.
Nuts. It's then, like then, Cubs win the
and
World
then
Series.
Bob does it, and he actually literally sounds like Yoda had entered in the room.
Go, you must.
Yeah. So the kids start booing.
Oh, my gosh.
One guy stands up. I can never forget. And he yells something that I'm not going to say on this podcast.
It was not polite.
No, it was not polite.
It wasn't horrible.
But they were saying, you're horrible.
You're a horrible human being summed up in one word.
Yeah.
And just screaming, like veins popping out of his face.
It was the best day
ever.
It
was horrible.
It was the best day ever.
Yeah, anyway. If it was in role-playing, that would be known as vicious mockery.
There you go.
I would have had to roll a D4
for damage. So we're on the fifth episode, and this is
Empire
great.
Strikes Back.
This is great.
Right, which is the great. What's your favorite movie? Do you have a favorite movie of all time? Some people
That's
can't
interesting.
Categorize life like that.
I was thinking about that. If we were on a desert island and all we had was a 55-inch screen TV, nice DVR, and electricity.
Keep trying. Yeah.
What movie would you? You know, I don't know. That's a really good question. I love the movie A Field of Dreams. I just think that's a wonderful movie. A Few Good Men, You Can't Handle the Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Bob, what's yours?
It might be The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Well, you know, The Empire Strikes Back had a lot of meaning for me when I was younger. I think sometimes when you think of like your favorite movies, you're always remembering where you were when you saw it or how many times you saw it. I must have seen this movie about 100 times. Oh, this involves my almost bionic woman godmother that you don't believe
in. Sure,
it
does.
So she was in town, which was rare because Carmelite hermits don't get out a lot. And I think I was about 12 at the time. And The Empire Strikes Back was playing at the local movie theater, you know, which we could walk to. So she was trying to be interested in what I was interested in, which is always a nice ministry moment. And so she took me to see The Empire Strikes Back. And do you remember The Empire Strikes Back? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. Oh, of course. That's the one with Ben Kenobi and Obi-Wan.
Who's the same person, by the way?
Luke Skywalker's in that one.
Yoda's in there. Okay, it's the first time you meet Yoda. And there's this really cool moment where Yoda is training Luke in the ways of the Force. And he's talking about how, you know, Luke's asking, is the dark side stronger than the light? And Yoda's like, no, it's quicker, it's faster, but it's not stronger. You need to be disciplined with the light side. Just a lot of really cool stuff. And I remember going out with my aunt afterwards, and she just started explaining. I mean, it was a brilliant moment of evangelization. She was just using all the imagery of Star Wars and comparing it to holiness and comparing it to growth and virtue and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, she started talking about the ways the movie wasn't really on track. You know, like, there's not just a force, there's a person, his name is Jesus. I mean, it was like a transforming moment. I mean, I left that, you know, meal wanting to be a Christian Jedi. And it was just a great example of, oh, I understand the faith now, because somebody was able to show the faith in my culture, which is so important. You know, the church just came out with a document, as the church likes coming out with documents, but the Directory for Catechesis, which sounds like a boring document, but as a catechist, I find it exciting. But one of the things it kept saying over and over again is it's trying to reframe the ministry of catechesis into a missionary mindset, where it's not just about we have the truth and we're going to explain it to you. It's about going out, going forth, finding Christ in the culture of the people that we're talking to, lifting that up. Because that's a real beautiful and profound way to talk about the gospel.
Yeah, excuse me. I remember when we were in seminary, that was one of the things that they continually drilled into us, the missiology, the study of mission and whatnot. It was saying just that very thing, is to be able to help people discover in their day-to-day world God's presence. There's like one of our professors would have us watch a movie, and then we had to create a homily from that. Another homiletics professor said you should hold the scriptures in one hand and hold the newspaper in another hand.
Yeah.
Because if what we're preaching doesn't impact their day-to-day life and their world, then what are we doing? It's just maybe a theological statement or something like that that doesn't connect in them, doesn't draw them closer to the Lord. I think this, and the thing about the what your aunt did for you, if she really exists, what she did with you is that she helped you be able to see in the midst of, it was just a movie, but
right,
that there can be truth, good, and beauty in so many things that we oftentimes miss. And that's one of our goals for our listeners is that if we can help them discover that. And I think that there's a lot out there, actually. There's lot out there that we can see if we have eyes of faith and eyes of hope.
I even think just the popularity of superhero movies. You know, I mean, they really emphasized, you know, virtue, sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they almost can't help but tell the gospel story because it's just written on the human heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't have to be religious to find the seed of the word of God, you know, that's present.
Yeah.
But then we also have a lot of great, specifically religious content out there as well. And I think that's a wonderful sign of hope. I mean, something that you wouldn't have seen 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia?
That wasn't a question.
Which do you prefer?
You gave me the option, but you didn't tell me the thing.
Which movies do you prefer?
Oh, the movies? Yeah. I prefer Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Why? What about you?
I love Chronicles of Narnia.
Now, there's only three of them, though.
I know. You know, it was really cool.
So it's not really fair. It's like an incomplete.
Well, how many Lord of the Rings are there?
What's a seven thing?
Chronicles of Narnia.
No, but like, when it's not a trilogy.
It's a seven-a-gy.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I'd never read those books, and
Lord of the Rings?
I've never read the Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that, but I haven't. Chronicles of Narnia, and just a couple of years ago.
But you've read Chronicles of Narnia.
I have.
It is written at a lower reading level.
Yeah, and that's where I belong.
Yeah.
A couple of years, actually, that was one of the things that I was amazed of is yes, they're children's stories, but they're profoundly beautiful
they
and
really
deep.
They really are. Yeah.
So I had it was kind of fun. I read them with my niece
who
I lived in DC at the time, and she was in Columbus or in Cleveland, and just kind of sharing that. And we talked a little bit every now and then. I don't know if she actually ever finished them all, but I think she did. But they were just beautiful. And I think the movies are beautiful. And that's where, you know, some people were raising, well, you know, some of the ways that was this theologically correct and whatnot. And I think that sometimes we can be so critical that we miss the beauty that's in them. And that's not to say that that we can't critique something and take a look at it and say, okay, right, they could have done this better. But to totally be dismissive of something, yeah, like The Chosen. Have you seen any of The Chosen?
No, not yet. I can't wait to, though.
It's really great. They just had the first season out, and it was really, really beautiful. And I'm inclined to support, you know, movies and films and things that are trying to do something positive and good. Yeah. And yeah, I just think that there's so many opportunities for us there to be able to encounter the Lord and encounter something good and all that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we usually do a little plug for the university, but instead we're diving into the mailbag.
Yeah. How many, like we've had 2-3 emails?
I mean, does it count the back and forth?
Between you and I?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, then like 5. Okay. So, but this is a real wonderful story. It's sent to me from someone, let's just call her Annie.
Okay.
Because that's how she signed her name at the end of the email. Okay. And she said that in the middle of her daughter's junior year in high school, before Thanksgiving, they toured at Franciscan. Her and her husband were so excited, they felt it was right for her, but she was anxious and undecided. And then God went to work. As we sat in an admissions in a full room, Father Nathan briskly walked through and stopped outside. He paused and looked at us as if listening. He came back into the crowd of 25 to 30 people, stood directly in front of our daughter. "Is your name Katie?" he asked. She shook her head, "Yes." And he said, "Katie, God stopped me and wanted me to let you know he feels this is the right place for you, and you'll truly find your vacation here and flourish."
Your vacation?
Yeah, your vacation.
I would have thought vocation, but okay.
Well, you know, maybe she misspelled it. Maybe I misread it.
But anyway, I'm going to go with the latter.
Yeah, that's probably the case. But that's amazing.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's a spiritual. Now, of course, you know, they didn't mention she had a huge name tag that said, "Hi,
that's
my name is Katie."
But yeah, that's
no, she didn't actually. That's not. But then also, Father Nathan just always walks in admissions and asks for a Katie.
It's kind of a crazy
thing.
With our population,
Mary.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you Mary
is
or
Mary
John
here?
Paul? But anyway, that's not the only cool thing that was it. So he said he'd pray for her, and so then they were worried about. They wanted her to go. But within 2 days of each other, she and her husband lost their job, hers was cut back. A day later, Katie asked about Franciscan, how it would ever be possible. We didn't know. And then that day, a Franciscan grad called me and frantically said, "Check your email. It was the morning that you announced the Step in Faith program." We were in tears, knowing how God works amazingly to help us. We were struck by how he used others to guide and serve us. Thank you for the faith, hope, and love. You and the Franciscan family continue to extend to us as we navigate this crazy year. She loves being here. Yeah, that's just amazing.
That's really
isn't
cool.
It?
And I think for some people, just the fact that we have students on campus has been a sign of hope.
Yeah.
You know, in such a strange time, and nothing quite seems normal, to be on campus and to see a bunch of students walking around and studying and spending time and laughing. It's just a great sign of hope to be here.
Yeah, and I know there are kids in dorm rooms that are on online classes. I know some schools didn't open. I know, you know, like Annie shared, people have lost jobs or cut back, and I know things are really difficult. But God is moving in the midst of it and can still do miracles in the midst of it. So we're happy. Annie, we're grateful that you shared that story with us. We hope it blesses all of you who are listening. And yeah, just knowing that God is working, even if we can't see him in our life, hearing about his work in another's life can make us say, "Ooh, okay."
Good. And it's interesting. One of the friars was had Mass on Saturday, and he read the quote of Pope Benedict from his document that he wrote on hope. And that's one of the things that he said was interesting. It says, if I can see this, it says, "Let us once again, we need the greater and lesser hopes that keep us going day to day." And I just like that Benedict was saying the greater and lesser hopes. He ultimately goes on to say that we have one hope and our hope is in Jesus alone. But there are different experiences he calls lesser hopes that kind of keep us going, that we see in the midst of the day. It's like, okay, things are going to be okay, or it's not so bad. So I just like this. Maybe this is part of what we're inviting people to, is to discover the greater and the lesser hopes that ultimately lead us to the greatest hope of Jesus.
Yeah. Like so lesser hopes, like your Broncos winning.
Yeah. The Broncos actually. Yes,
is that a greater hope?
That's a pretty big hope.
Yeah.
That's
over
a pretty
the Patriots?
Big hope. Yeah. Do you know, just real quick then, I had this image. I remember when we would go hiking and stuff, particularly in the winter, in Colorado, and we would
not,
be
to the listener. Not we. We wouldn't go.
No,
hiking.
No, because you would never go hiking.
I'd stay
me
indoors.
And my brothers and friends. And so, if you were walking across something that's ice, but the ice is thin, you take a step on it, but you don't stay there because you know if you stay there, it's going to fall. But it's just going to be able to move you on to the next step, so you can get through it, so the ice doesn't break. That's what these lesser hopes are. If we're just going to stay on that, ultimately, it's not going to satisfy, right? But just for that moment, it's going to help us move to the next one. So it was just a great image. And yes, to that end, the Broncos winning was a lesser hope, but it was a good thing. But we're also entering the World Series. And I know we're probably losing 2/3 of our population right now because of baseball, but
we're at least losing half of this podcast, but keep going.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just things like that. I was raised playing baseball, and I don't know if you watched the end of the game 7 the other night. I literally saw one inning and it was the best inning, and the Dodgers ended up winning the game. I'm not a huge Dodgers fan because my Nationals lost, but little signs of hope, baseball.
Well, Tampa Bay's
it's baseball.
It's baseball, and yeah. Tampa Bay's.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's had a good
doing it.
A good,
yeah, they're there.
Because they just won the Stanley Cup.
They won
too.
The Stanley Cup. They're in the World Series. And of course, Tampa Brady is rocking it. That they beat Green Bay soundly. That's a little sign of hope. Maybe we should actually move on to spiritual things.
Probably.
But praise.
Well, here's the thing. So here's what I'm working on right now.
Okay.
So it's going to be an article. We might do a little, this is like a preview, a trailer of things to come. And I think.
In a world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to call it Wednesday morning.
Wow. When is it going to come out?
Friday. Okay. But not this Friday, but the Friday before the election.
Okay.
And what I want to write about and what I've been praying about and thinking about, there's been obviously so much discussion about who you should vote for. And I think that one of the things that we have oftentimes is I think we become desensitized. And I can't see myself voting for somebody that isn't pro-life. I can't make that step. And I realize that this is just such a weird election, crazy election, and some people have made that step. And I just can't make that. But one of the things that I've been reflecting on is Wednesday morning, what's it going to be like the day after the election? And what I've been praying for and what I've been hoping for and what I've been taking before the Lord is that we can come together, you know, that Wednesday morning, no matter what happens in the election, that honestly, family members are divided about this. And it's just because we've just, both individuals are tremendously flawed. And people have just strong feelings about, and honestly, the reality is a lot of it is negative feelings. I don't know that
most people are voting against,
not necessarily voting for. Yeah.
And that's sadly been a common thing in politics.
Yeah. But what I've been praying about and thinking about, I'm just writing a little bit of piece is that Wednesday morning, you know, what does that look like when we get up? And I honestly don't think the election is going to be over. I think it's going to be a protracted election, but, How do we look at the people that we disagree with or we adamantly are opposed to the way they voted or what they think or even their stance? Like, we're both profoundly pro-life, but we also know people that I would say are friends that don't see that or miss that. But does that mean that we totally dismiss them or we walk away from them or we don't engage them?
Or they would see pro-life and, I mean, you know, you can say specifically he's profoundly anti-abortion.
Then,
but they would point to other areas of his life that is like, well, that's not respecting the dignity of human people. It's a mess.
I mean, it is a mess.
It really is a mess. And you're right. We have to, you know, I think one of the things that Pope Francis said that really stood out to me is that we can... No, it wasn't that. It was actually, I'm reading this wonderful book called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. It's these documents that were written with evangelical theologians and Catholic theologians and really trying to find, you know, what we have in common. It was really seeking unity. And it had a great quote in it. And it said something to the effect of, we can't take our strengths and compare it with the other's weaknesses. And that's what we often do. We do our highlight reel and we do their low light reel.
So
we want to see the best in who we like and we want to see the worst in who we hate. And we don't want to acknowledge the worst in what we like or the best in who we hate.
Right. And there's no way we're going to come together and have dialogue if that's the manner in which we approach this.
And that's exactly it. And you're right. It's that idea of You know, I have friends that are going in a lot of different directions with the elections, and all of them are just trying to make the right decision. And all of them are struggling with it, too.
Right.
I mean, this is not...
Right, and the thing is, and it's okay to disagree. Again, it's... We can disagree. Some people can say that they're going to vote for one candidate, and I can give you... And sometimes we make the abortion issue the only issue, and, right. and some people say you're a single-issue voter. Well, I don't believe that's true, that the different agendas that go around the abortion are ultimately problematic as well. How we see identity of the human person, what family looks like, religious liberty. So there's a lot. So it's not just a single issue. But even if that's the case, that doesn't mean that again, there are people that I've been friends with for a long time that are going to vote a different way. And I still love them and I still care for them. And there's, and this, the evil one is, and I'm just so convinced of this, Bob, the evil one is the divider, and he's going to do whatever he can do to break up friendships and families and the body of Christ. And we have got to be intentional about this and not let that happen.
Yeah. And just pray for peace.
One of the quotes you did from that book, Bob, was, I don't remember exactly what it was, but something about differences.
Yeah. There was another part of the book as it was laying out how the conversation was going to happen. They said two really great things. Obviously, we're moving a little away from politics and into ecumenism, as we would say. But as it talked about why they were getting together, it made it really clear. It said, first of all, that we reject any appearance of harmony that is purchased at the price of truth.
And that's so good, is that you can have this dialogue, and it doesn't mean that we have to dismiss what we believe or walk away from what we believe, but you can still firmly believe what's true, what's good, and still have a dialogue with somebody.
And then it said a little bit later, not all differences are authentic disagreements, nor need all disagreements divide.
Yeah.
And now there might be things that are divisive, to be sure.
Sure.
But
That's just such a great, because that is exactly what the evil one does not want us to believe, that if we disagree on something, we must be divided. And that just isn't true. It's just not true.
Yeah. No, it is absolutely
I love thinking about the apostles when you think about them and how different they were, right?
Right.
And they bring these different characters together who I'm sure when Jesus was off praying, they were just bickering and fighting, right?
Right.
But again, when Jesus comes back and he's at the center of that, it helps us keep our eyes on what's right. But
amen.
Yeah, I think that's something for us to pray about this week is as we draw closer to the election, that we are do our best and to love and to support and encourage and to stay united in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And on Thursday we have the debate, but it's also the feast. Oh,
okay,
but before we do that.
So I just want to
shout out.
A shout out. There is a new book, and I'm sure that it's available wherever fine books are sold.
Nice.
Is that the
wherever fine.
Okay.
My voice isn't so good today.
It's not. Picked a bad week to quit smoking, Bob.
I did. I actually just started with a nicotine patch because I didn't want to just jump right into cigarettes.
Yeah. So this book is written by Emily Geminette. She is a graduate of Franciscan University, and it's called Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Promises, Jesus's Promises in Your Life. Hmm. It's published by Ave Maria Press. Emily does just a really beautiful job. It, again, really practical, concrete.
Yeah.
What are the lies that we often hear in our life, in our heart, and allowing the Lord to speak true to that. So Emily Geminette, Secrets of the Sacred Heart by Ave Maria Press.
Available where fine books
are
sold.
That was better. That was
Thanks.
Better.
I'm starting. I think doing Yoda this early in the morning was like not good for my throat.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, I need to like wake up and gargle with salt water
I
do that.
That's probably it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were saying Thursday.
Well, we have the debate on Thursday or something, I think maybe, is happening. And but more importantly, in terms of a spiritual realm, it's the feast of John Paul II.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, it is awesome. Now, you've met him. Did you get to meet him?
I did. So actually, this is a wonderful, wonderful story. It was the Year of Jubilee. And I was
Year of Jubilee.
That's right.
Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Sorry.
Yep. Nope. I was there with you, Bob. I was there with you.
You were there.
Yep. So it was Year of Jubilee.
Stop me before I break into Joy as a Flag.
Stop.
Thank you.
Stop.
Thank you.
And we were headed to Rome. I was leading a pilgrimage to Rome in the Jubilee year, which was just a tremendous blessing. And my mom and dad were joining me on this particular pilgrimage. And it was funny. At the time, I was working as Father Mike's assistant, and Father Mike Scanlon was president of the university, and he was friends with Bishop Shivitz, who was his secretary, okay. The Holy Father's secretary, John Paul's secretary. So I sent a fax in and said, you know, who I am, and I'm going to be there with my mom and my dad. Is it possible that we could be able to celebrate Mass with the Holy Father in his private chapel? And you never know if that's going to happen or not. So I didn't tell my mom and dad because I didn't want to get their hopes up.
Right.
And so, but I did tell them, you know, bring a jacket and a nice dressing case, you know, and they're like, well, why? And say, because they're like, why? It's, well, just in case,
we'll,
you know.
We'll take you out to some place. Exactly. It'll be lovely.
We'll spend a night on the town.
Right.
So each day I'd come into the hotel and I say, any message from me? And the receptionist's like, no, there's no messages. All right. Nobody is trying to get a hold of you. So this one
rolling
day.
Rolling their eye. Oh, yeah, another priest looking to hear
that's
from
right.
the Pope.
That's right. So I come
we
in and
they said,
yes,
here.
You actually have a message. And I open it up and it says, you are formally invited to attend Mass with Holy Father, which was just phenomenal.
Yeah,
so we get up early the next morning. It was just, oh, it's just so beautiful. And you go to the bronze door and we get, you know, led through the back halls of St. Peter's in the Vatican. And then we end up, they separated. My mom and dad were out in this one little room and they bring myself and the other clergy into the Holy Father's office. So we're vesting there and Bishop Shivitz comes in. He's holding some books and he's got a really thick Polish accent. And I know that you're going to do a Polish accent as soon as I say this.
No, actually, that's one of the accents I don't do very well.
That's the only one, is
Maybe.
It?
Maybe.
Okay.
Eastern Bloc stuff, I'm not that good.
Okay. So he comes up and he looks, he's holding these books. And what I heard him say is, are any of you sinners? And I thought that was a really weird question, you know, are any of you sinners? But I've never been Mass with the Pope, so maybe that they do a vetting process, right?
Sure,
you're not going to make the cut. So I raised my hands and I said, yes, Bishop, I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner. Hmm. And all the other priests look at me and he says, good, you picked the songs. And what he had said was, are any of you singers? And I'm just like, one of the guys says to me, thanks for the public confession. And I was pretty positive that at that moment they were going to say, okay, you can leave now.
Right.
But as it turns out, we process in. And
what,
I was really,
do you remember what song you picked?
Probably Holy, 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 because I love the song and I also, everybody knows that song.
Right, but not Days of Elijah.
I did not do Days of Elijah because we didn't have an accordion.
Ah, fair enough.
So we process in a couple of things that I was struck by. First off, we walked into his small chapel. I was surprised how modern it was. Was really modern and lots of color and stuff, which kind of surprised me.
Like metal and curves and...
Yeah. And, like tiles, okay. Blues and greens and reds and stuff.
Right? Pictures, so, like mosaics?
I don't.
No,
just color. Just color, yeah. So I remember walking in, the Holy Father was already kneeling down, and I remember how broad his shoulders were. You know, he was very athletic, and as it turns out, and this was just so remarkable, is I was the one who got to sit next to him. So I was literally less than a foot away from him for... And it was interesting because people had said, you know, when you heard John Paul, when you were praying with him, that he grunts. And I don't know how to explain it other than that's what he does. Is Romans 8 talks about like kind of praying in our weakness and in utterances that we don't understand. And I don't understand Polish, but I can hear Polish. So it wasn't Polish. It wasn't Latin. And he just kind of...
He wasn't like kielbasa.
No, not at all.
Pierogi.
I didn't hear that at all. Not at all. But it was just... Yeah, it was one of the highlights for my mom and my dad and I to be able to celebrate the liturgy with the Holy Father and then introduce him. And
yeah, I was going to say, did you get to chat
afterwards,
with him?
Afterwards, we were in this little greeting line and he was doing pretty well there. He walked in and was actually kind of spinning his cane and he was, and I met him. I said, you know, I'm Father Dave Pavanka from Franciscan. And he goes, oh, Franciscan, I love Steubenville. And it was really wonderful,
awesome.
Right? Because he was very much aware. But it was a beautiful moment. He places his, I introduced my mom and my dad, which was remarkable being able to introduce my mom and my dad to John Paul, now a saint. He places his hand on my mother's cheek and just, you know, mama. It's just beautiful. Uh-huh. So yeah, it was great. It was just a great blessing.
I went to Rome for my honeymoon. And as you know, couples that go to, you know, show up, you know, in your wedding dress on your honeymoon, the Holy Father would come out.
The couple in the wedding dress or just the bride?
Well, I think back then it was just the bride.
Just the bride.
Yeah. But, so if one was in the wedding dress and then the other was dressed nicely, you could go up and you could see the Pope. And I mean,
so you and Jen got to do that?
No, nobody told us about this until afterwards.
That's
it is horrible. Like we came back from our honeymoon. They're like, did you see the Pope? And we were like, how would we have seen the Pope? Oh, well, if you went with your wedding, you know, if Jenny had her wedding dress, on Wednesday afternoons. I'm like, we were there a week after we got married, and just somehow everybody in the world knew this. Everybody at Franciscan
knew this. We kept it from
you. Nobody mentioned it to us until we get back. Yeah. And it's like, well, that would have been really nice to have.
Oh, wow.
So I just got close to the Pope Mobile. That was about it for World Youth Day.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And there is actually a new Pope Mobile, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just in the news. It's a hydrogen. It looks like that. It looks like that. And it's a hydrogen Pope Mobile that is very, I don't know. It's very interesting. So take a look at it.
I will.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a great feast day, though.
We didn't land that segment very well.
We didn't. Yeah, yeah.
It will be a great feast day. And I think it's just a great sign of hope. You know, we mentioned this earlier, even with the debates and stuff going on. All the feast
days. That's how it got started.
That's how it got started, right.
I think we chose the better portion there.
I think we did too. Well, why don't we close with a blessing and specifically asking for John Paul II, who was such an amazing, holy man, a uniter, you know, just a great sign
that's
of faith.
Yeah.
Just to ask for his intercession on the world and our country and our lives. You know, he said over and over again, be not afraid. You know, that was the most quoted scripture he had. And, you know, that's that scripture can be found, you probably know this, 365 times in the Bible. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, no, 365 times, which is one for every day, except leap year. Be afraid on leap year.
Yeah, February 29th.
Yeah,
just stay in your room.
Yeah, it's like one of those horror movies. But any other time, be not afraid. That was the words, the message of St. John Paul II, and I think a great message for us today.
Amen. So we're just going to, again, quote Pope Benedict. He says, let us once again, we need the greater and the lesser hopes that keep us going day by day. But these are not enough without the great hope, the one which surpasses everything else. Lord, we ask for your grace and your blessing of the great hope that surpasses all others, that Jesus would become more alive to us, more real to us, more present to us. Father, we pray particularly for those listeners today who are suffering more, who find themselves in difficulty and anxiety and stress and pain and suffering and sickness, Lord, that you'd be present to them, that you would give them signs of hope, that they not forget that you are loving and that you are kind and that you are present. May the Lord pour his blessings upon you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good day, Bob.
Thanks, you too. And you listening, many blessings in your day, whatever you are doing. If you'd like to send us a story of hope, send us a prayer request, maybe even send us something you'd like us to shout out on the podcast, the email is hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. And you have been listening to They That Hope, a podcast brought to you by Franciscan University of Steubenville. God bless.